Hi there, club members, and welcome to this week's Lunch and Learn. And this week, what I thought I'd concentrate is the concept of can I, constant and never-ending improvement. I talk about this concept a lot and how crucial I believe it is to implement as part of your team culture to get the best out of every individual, your team, and the business as a whole. Part of our experience of life is the constant and never-ending journey that we're on, and we never learn as much as when we're little children learning enormous things such as language and walking and moving and spatial awareness, all of those things, relationships, the list goes on and on. And then as we move through primary school, high school, and out into adulthood, we then go through a period where we've got choices as to whether we learn or not, when we're not being forced to go to school, and we've already learned all the basics of being a human being. However, this learning journey goes on forever until the day we pass, and we want that journey to be as rich as possible, just so we can get better and better over time. However, there are certain elements to the learning process that make us feel incompetent and uncomfortable, and we find it a bit confronting. So we tend to slow down our learning in adulthood unless we have a true desire to continually improve. The constant and never-ending improvement journey as a business is made up of individuals that are eager for that same journey. And in today's Lunch and Learn, I want to go through the four elements that are required in order for your team to jump on this can I process and make sure that each of us as individuals, and then broader as a team, and broader yet as a business, that we are on this constant and never-ending improvement journey and getting better and better. So can I? Constant and never-ending improvement, can I? So this concept of can I, constant never-ending improvement, has also come from the Japanese Kaizen, which means change for the good and this continual improvement journey. But how do you actually develop it in yourself and also for your team members? And the number one area, and we're going to go through these one at a time very carefully, the number one element is feedback. What is required in order for us to improve? And that is to identify areas that require improvement. So a crucial element to can I is receiving feedback. The second element that we're going to move through is mistakes and how we manage mistakes in the learning journey. Number three, the importance of practice and repetition. And the fourth element, functioning from the learning zone and becoming comfortable with that. So first of all, let's have a look at feedback. Now, feedback is a term that conjures up feelings of people are going to be criticizing me, and then I'm not going to know what to do with that information. It will make me feel uncomfortable. So being faced with the prospect of feedback, many people shrink away. And as always, whether we shrink away from something or become emboldened by it is all about the meaning we attach to it. And we can attach easily a very helpful meaning to feedback. So if you do have the concept of constant and never-ending improvement as a helpful journey to be on in your life, because of that, you must also be quite happy to embrace feedback, because of course, how can we improve if we are not aware of the areas that we require improvement in or areas that we can improve in? And the processing of feedback for me personally has been something I've become quite comfortable with, and part of my journey of becoming comfortable with that is an organization called Toastmasters. You may have heard of it before. It is a worldwide organization. It's been going on for, I think, over 100 years now. And there are many groups throughout the world. And Toastmasters is a public speaking coaching program. And you enter and join these clubs if you want to become more comfortable with presenting in front of a crowd. And the whole process fundamentally is that you prepare a 5 to 7 minute speech, and then you deliver it in front of a group of people, your club members, and they then identify for you areas that they feel you've done really well in and areas that you might want to improve in. Now, some of you may be out there thinking, I couldn't think of anything worse than doing that. Who on earth would want to go down that path? And I tell you, there's an enormous amount of support, and the way this Toastmasters group is structured, it is quite extraordinary. You very quickly get very comfortable with feedback. In fact, you get so comfortable with feedback, if you had an evaluator stand up and say, which some newer evaluators do this because they're not comfortable with delivering feedback just yet, they'll stand up and try to be kind and say, I really couldn't find any fault with your speech. I think you did great. Toastmasters has structured things in such a way that if that sort of evaluation was to be delivered to a speaker, that speaker would feel disappointed. They would think to themselves, I'm here in this organization to improve. How am I supposed to improve if you don't help me identify the areas of improvement that are in front of me? So trying to develop that kind of mindset, that kind of meaning that you attach to feedback like Toastmasters does in your organization can really help your organization improve in leaps and bounds, because it's a lack of enthusiasm around receiving feedback that can sometimes stop us from improving. So feedback in your organization can become something that everyone gets very used to. Now, keep in mind that feedback is both what you're doing great and areas that you think might be able to be improved upon. And so just consider your morning huddles, for example, as a great opportunity to get everyone used to it. Two questions I like to ask in the morning huddles is, what went great yesterday and what could have been improved on yesterday? And you can use that opportunity for a very quick brief. It was great, receptionist, when you came in and did my stereo for me. That really helped me. And what could be improved upon, someone forgot to put the sign in yesterday and it was left out all night. I think next time we can bring that in, if that'd be fantastic. That would be fantastic. And so you can start to get very used to delivering good and bad feedback to people to a point where it just becomes feedback. We don't put a hook in it, an emotional hook in it, that it means that we're inadequate, that it means that we're not good enough, because this whole process of can I means that we are all embracing the concept that we are all doing great, we're constantly learning, we've always got something that we can improve upon, and so feedback just helps us on that journey. And so the getting comfortable with feedback is a crucial step in order for you to consistently improve on your performance in your life. The second element is mistakes. Now, quite often when mistakes happen in an organization, it's something to be feared and then disciplined again. So there was a classic question that Charles asks dentists in some of his presentations, and that is, how often do you let an employee make a mistake? And many of them say twice. I let them make it once and I correct their behavior, and then twice there's something wrong. It's just not the case. You look at all of the things that you have learned throughout your life, learning to walk, talk, language, mathematics, driving a car, learning the skills of your trade, what you do right now. You didn't learn any of those skills without making a mistake. Mistakes, in fact, are a crucial and important step in your self-improvement journey. You can't learn without mistakes, and we certainly don't put a cap on it and say you make two mistakes and then you're out. No way. You make as many mistakes as you need in your improvement journey. This is John Wooden, a quote by John Wooden. He is a legendary American basketball coach, and he has since passed, but he used to say, if you are not making mistakes, you aren't doing anything. Don't you love that? If you're not making mistakes, you're not doing anything. You're not learning anything new. You're not stepping outside your comfort zone. So we encourage you to make a mistakes policy within your organization, because when we're talking about aligning all your team members to constant and never-ending improvement, to can I, then we need to create the environment where it's safe to do so. And one of the key steps you can do as an organization is to develop a very smart mistakes policy. Now, you may not be able to live it straight away, but again, it just takes practice and repetition to be able to start doing this very well. But this is the mistakes policy that we suggest for you. Mistakes are a sign of having tried. We will forgive honest mistakes that are made in the pursuit of legitimate practice goals. We learn by mistakes and they become part of our collective knowledge. Mistakes born of negative attitude are not to be repeated. And so we're not talking about mistakes from a bad attitude that you just allow those to go through to the keeper, not at all. If it's a bad attitude, we need to address that. However, mistakes are as part of your learning journey of increasing your skills in how to communicate more effectively with patients, on how to perform the skills within your role more effectively, we need to allow mistakes to happen. When we put a stop on mistakes, have this thought in mind, when you put a stop on mistakes, you are stopping learning. So help create the environment where all your team members feel very comfortable in continually improving by, it's okay if you make mistakes. The third element is the practice and repetition, and I touched on that just before. Recognize that when you were learning to walk, you had many, many hundreds of tries before you stood up and before you stood up by yourself and could walk a stretch of land without falling over. It was through practice, repetition. With practice and repetition, we're constantly modifying the way we do things to perfect what we end up doing. It's through practice and repetition that you become a master at what you do. Practice and repetition are so crucial. And keep in mind, there are some skills that if you do this skill on a daily basis, you'll learn quite swiftly because you'll be doing it every day. However, if it's a skill that you only get to practice every month, it's going to take even longer to learn that. But embrace that. Recognize the importance of practice and repetition when it comes to skills development. Every skill that is honed over time, playing the violin, singing, bike riding, doing a filling, becoming a great rapport builder with patients, through practice and repetition is how we improve and get great at what we do. So repetition is a crucial part of learning. In memory, the more times patterns of thought are repeated, the more likely you will be able to recall the information. Paulo Coelho. Routine has nothing to do with repetition. To become really good at anything, you have to practice and repeat until the technique becomes intuitive. And Aristotle, it is frequent repetition that produces a natural tendency. Most things we do in life are learned skills, learned ways of doing things, and it's the frequent repetition that makes it seem like, gosh, they're a natural at that. The fourth element is the learning zone, and this is all the mindset stuff, the meaning we attach to things. And so the learning zone is, as this graph indicates, right here in the middle is the comfort zone. And the comfort zone is a little bit lifeless, it's very secure. We seem to be unchallenged in this space. You can become quite bored in this space. It's very stable and safe. And above all else, it's easy. But then going to the other extreme, the panic zone. We don't want to go in the panic zone. The panic zone can generate fear in people. It can be a very tense space. You can feel exhausted because you're so overwhelmed all the time, and you can feel very stressed. You think of a new person coming into a role within your organization. If you dumped all of their responsibilities on them on day one and said you have to get good at all of this stuff by the end of the week, they would feel overwhelmed. They would feel fearful, tense, exhausted, and stressed. However, if you went to the other end of the spectrum, back down to comfort zone, and you said, we just want you to learn how to pick up the phone. Don't say anything, just pick it up. And you went all the way to the other end, then they would feel quite bored and certainly unchallenged. Where growth happens, where that constant and never-ending improvement journey occurs, is in neither of these two extremes. It's right in the middle. It's right in the learning zone. So it's in the learning zone that we feel excited and exhilarated, challenged. We're willing to take risks, and we feel quite expectant for a better future. It's in the learning zone that we get better and better over time. However, the learning zone does conjure up feelings of inadequacy. And this is the competency grid, and this will help you identify why it can be very uncomfortable in the learning zone. I put up the top there conscious incompetence because that's the quadrant within this grid that we feel most unsure about and conjures up most fears and anxieties around the growth environment. And so first of all, let's go up to unconscious incompetence, and I'm going to use the example of driving a car as we're moving through this. Unconscious incompetence is when you are unaware of the skill and your lack of proficiency in it. So before you ever needed to drive a car or learn to drive a car, you had no idea what you couldn't do and it didn't bother you. This is the ignorance is bliss space, and it's wonderful. We don't mind this space. We're quite comfortable with it. We're quite comfortable not knowing what we don't know and we're not knowing what we're not good at. But then when you became 17 years old and you sat in the front seat of a car for the first time, you moved into conscious incompetence. You are aware of the skill, but not yet proficient. And as I mentioned, this is the space that we're most uncomfortable with. This is where we sit in that front seat of the car. We're like, I don't know how to use the accelerator. I don't know how to use the brake, how much pressure to put on these pedals. How do you indicate and speak at the same time and look for traffic and all the rest? I am so overwhelmed. There's all these things I don't know how to do. And worse yet, I know I don't know how to do them. And so you're very conscious around your incompetency. Once we move through a few bits of practice and repetition with the driving, we develop conscious competence. So you are able to use the skill, but only with effort. So none of it's come naturally yet. We haven't got enough practice and repetition under our belt yet in order for it to be a natural tendency. And so we are more comfortable in this space because even though we're conscious of all our movements and what we're learning, we're competent at those skills. So we feel competent. And so that's okay. We don't mind this space. And so finally, after many months of driving, we move into unconscious competence. We're performing the skill and it's become automatic. We don't even have to think about how to drive from point A to point B. We don't have to think to ourselves, put the indicator on now, look for traffic now. It's all just coming naturally to us. It's a natural tendency. And so we're also extraordinarily comfortable with unconscious competence. So out of this grid, the area that causes us most grief is the conscious incompetence, when we're very aware of skills we should have that we don't have yet. And that is the learning zone. And that's why many of us avoid the learning zone and move more into comfort, move into the comfort zone. And we stay there for long periods of time until something triggers us that we must grow in this way or we opt to grow in that way. And so in order for you yourself personally and all of your team members to be on this journey of constant and never-ending improvement, developing a comfort around conscious incompetence is crucial. And it is possible because generally the meaning we put on conscious incompetence is, I hate it, I just wish I could learn quicker. However, look at your journey when you were driving a car. That period of conscious incompetence is temporary. It's temporary, yet it is crucial to be able to get better. So if you're truly committed in getting better and you can really see that this space of incompetence is so temporary until I've got enough practice and repetition to get better at things and to become conscious and move into conscious competence and then into unconscious competence. This is necessary. So therefore, I embrace the feelings of incompetence. I love it because it's so temporary, but it means I'm getting better. I want you to imagine your life if you were progressing in leaps and bounds throughout, that you were removing the things in your life that stopped you from being comfortable with the learning process, the improvement process, giving yourself the time for practice and repetition and mistakes in order to get better. You think of what environment you would need to feel great confidence in the learning journey and then replicate that within your team, in your working environment. Then during your recruitment process, you are constantly appealing to people who are comfortable and love learning and comfortable with the space around learning. You're trying to trigger this within your own teammates as well. And you develop a culture where it makes it very supportive and safe to be on that constant never-ending improvement journey, because you embrace the mistakes, you embrace the fact that it takes practice and repetition. And as a group of individuals, we were getting comfortable with feedback and those feelings of incompetence. You imagine what you're capable of doing. We all want to get better and better at what we do. It's one of our core drivers as human beings, mastery. One of them is purpose, that we want to be moving towards something that is greater than ourselves. Another one is autonomy, that we have control over our own actions. And the third driver that we have is mastery, getting better at what we do. So if you can tap into those for yourself, your own personal life, you will feel big change happen and big improvement steps happening in your life. But you can also experience that as a team within your working environment. I wish you the best with the concept of Can I and building it into your team culture. Until next time, I look forward to seeing you then. Bye-bye.